Right now, it is time for Talkin' Books. We are joined in the studio by the one, the only, Susan Brown, who heads up strategic communications for the town of Chapel Hill, longtime Chapel Hill librarian as well. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
I am doing great. We were talking before that I'm trying to get as much done as possible before I crash, so I've just loaded up on coffee, and I'm super wired this morning.
Yeah, it's been a little intense sitting here.
Real good for right now. Ask me again in 3 hours when I can't keep my eyes open, but right now I'm doing great.
You're all hopped up on the Joe, on the Java.
All hopped up on the Joe, the Java, the caffeine. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. I was thinking, it's weird how one day ends and the next begins and you find some connective tissue. And I come in here and you're talking about Carolina Public Humanities.
Right.
And I just want to share that I think I actually brought Max on the show with me years ago, which might have sort of kindled the WCHL Carolina Public Humanities relationship.
It may have.
I'm not, you know, taking credit for it all or anything.
I can't remember.
Kind of am.
I can't remember the order of events, but there was a meeting with me and Max and one other person. I think it was like a student worker at Caribou Coffee, like right across,
yeah,
down the road at Estes and Franklin, where we got together. And I think it was just to talk about talk about an event that they had coming up and maybe scheduling an on-air interview. And I don't know why we decided to meet in person for it, but we did. And then within 10 minutes, we totally hit it off and we were like, let's do a regular thing.
Yeah.
So we did on the afternoon show for years and years.
That's
basically
kind of
the
how
same
this
way
show
we
came
did
to
it.
Be.
Yeah, exactly.
But the thing about Max, so it's funny coming in here and hearing you talk about him and CPH, because yesterday evening I stopped in the grocery store, mm-hmm, Harris Teeter North, and of course I saw Max, because Max and I have this thing. We see each other all the time at grocery stores. I either see him at Harris Teeter North,
uh-huh,
or Trader Joe's.
Okay.
Or maybe the other Harris Teeter, but we have a thing, and it's become over the years, you just turn a corner at an aisle. It's like, oh, of course, there's Max. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So let me ask, what is your grocery store strategy in Chapel Hill? Harris Teeter 1 versus 2 has got to be just a location thing, but what do you do that leads you to Harris Teeter versus Trader Joe's versus Whole Foods versus Wegmans versus all the others?
Oh, this is a whole show. We could have a whole forum on the Hill on Susan Brown's grocery shopping. But I will say, it's not just location. So old Harris Teeter, which is to me is Harris Teeter at University Mall, because
right,
we used to live near there,
right.
versus new Harris Teeter over where we live now, I take old Harris Teeter every chance I get. There's something about Harris Teeter North. The aisles are split. Things move around a lot.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're out to get me, because I can never, things are never in the same place.
The split aisle Harris Teeters are a little bit odd.
Yeah.
Because I'm used to U-Mall too, and they don't have split aisles. So when I go on split aisle Harris Teeter, I'm like, what is this?
Thank
even?
You.
Yeah.
But Wegmans has split aisles, and I don't mind that. But Wegmans, I stay over to the right. I don't go to the left, because that's where danger lies with your pocketbook. But we live walking distance to Food Lion.
Uh-huh.
So we go there quite a bit. After the show, I'm going to stop by Trader Joe's to buy some barbecue sauce that I can only get there.
Nice.
And of course, then I'll stop by Aldi at 9 to go through the Isle of Shame. I spend a lot of time strategizing on grocery store trips, I'm just saying.
Do you ever do Fresh Market? Because that's the
no.
one I've never been to.
Whole Foods and Fresh Market
are out.
I almost, maybe once a year for a very specific item.
See, I've gone into Whole Foods, but I've never bought anything. I've never tried Fresh Market. I never just find myself over there to go,
yeah,
man. I need to go.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking books with Susan Brown. And we got to mention, because I've mentioned this already on the air, but this is the penultimate Talking Books, the next to last, because as you move into a new position in strategic communications, that's going to lead to a new feature on 97.9 The Hill pretty soon, right? Later on this year.
Have we said the name of it? Have we shared the name?
Have you gotten a name? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Is it the name?
Did we agree name. On
it? Okay, yeah, you do it.
Talkin' Town with Susan Brown. I mean, how could we not?
Yeah, it's
right?
pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll be doing that on 97.9 The Hill down the road, and we'll be using this spot to expand Talkin' Books out for a broader arts and culture feature, which I'm super excited about. And all of that's going to happen starting in February and going into the spring, but that means only two more editions of this particular segment.
Yeah, and we recently talked about words that we've only seen written and not heard pronounced.
Penultimate.
Where,
yeah.
Well. Also, penultimate's one of those words where I always forget what it means. Like, is it next to the last? Is it next to last? Is it one after the last? It's kind of like biannual and biennial.
Yes.
I'm never quite sure. So
oh, I'm
penultimate,
terrible about that.
I always hear it. I rarely use it because I'm like, I'm going to use it wrong. And then I hear it and I'm like, I'm not quite sure about it.
I've been using penultimate very confidently all morning to mean next to last. And if you say something with enough confidence, then
right.
people will believe it, whether it's
right.
true or not. Yeah.
Okay.
Hashtag American politics.
That's... Yes.
Yeah. So I was just looking up on the website because we got the archives of Talking Books going all the way back to the beginning, which was October 1st, 2014.
2014.
9.5 years. This
wow.
Was. Yeah. This has been like, and you think like we spent all last year celebrating WCHL as like an entity, which technically
right.
tomorrow, by the way, is the station's birthday
oh,
going on the
cool.
air, yeah, as it happens. But 70 years of WCHL, which is such a long time, like so
yeah.
much history, more than 10% of the history of WCHL has been highlighted by Talking Books. So
amazing.
What a significant like
talk about a strategic marketer history. Right there. Well done, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, it's been a pleasure and a joy, and I look forward to the next chapter.
The next chapter, Talkin' Town with Susan Brown.
That's right.
Yeah. Spill any details about what Talkin' Town with Susan Brown is going to entail, or
I
is
mean,
that for later?
We're going to figure that out together,
we're
going
to figure
right?
that out. Okay, yeah. We're going to tell stories. It's going to be
we'll
great.
We'll come back next week. Yes.
Yeah.
I do think it's much more... In my brain, it's not like... It's not, you know, when the mayors come on, or it's not... like a news story like Brighton or others do. My thinking is, and this is that kind of connective tissue to Talking books and stories, and this is storytelling. So you won't maybe get a list of things happening this week, although
right.
we could touch on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, as I mentioned in one of our earlier interviews, as I've come into this job, what I love about it is working with every town department, whether it's a project, a service, a program, or just the people, there's so many great stories. So I think it's going to be a storytelling segment.
Nice.
How's that?
I like it. I like it. That's really cool. There's so many great stories to tell.
There really are. There really are.
So many great stories. All right. So speaking of great stories, let's talk books. We're getting close to wrapping up this segment, Talking Books with Susan Brown. So with that in mind, books with good endings, good memorable endings.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've got two. Both of them are dark and twisty because, you know, that's how I roll.
Both of mine are like bittersweet and will make you cry.
Aww.
Yeah. Actually, okay. Well, okay, one of them, both of them are bittersweet and will make you cry. One of them is also kind of dark and twisty. So
mine involve a lot of murder.
Okay, you first.
Okay, so the
I'm not going to say mine involve murder, but I'm looking at it, I'm just like, well,
okay.
Yeah, there's stuff.
So the first one that I want to share is I just reread this book, and I had forgotten. It's a book that about halfway through, I was like, oh, how does this end? And then I got about 3/4 of the way through, and I thought, oh, I remember the ending, but I still wanted to get to the ending. And
right.
it's Gillian Flynn, or is it Gillian Flynn?
I think it's Gillian Flynn. Yeah.
Of course, most folks know her for her breakout book, Gone Girl.
Right.
I'm a bigger fan of her two earlier books. One was Dark Places, but the book that I want to talk about is Sharp Objects, which was turned into a really good HBO series a couple years ago. Mm. And it's the story of a reporter who lives in Chicago. She's given an assignment to go back to her podunk town in the boot heel of Missouri to investigate disappearances of young girls. But it's really kind of this gothic story of her family and the town and all of that. And the ending, it's that double ending. Like you get to the end and it's like, whoa, that's who did it. Holy cow.
Uh-huh.
And then I think it actually came in an epilogue. I was listening to it as an audiobook. And then she tacks on this other ending.
Oh,
and you're
nice.
Just like, whoa. And it makes you rethink the entire book.
Ooh, I
so,
like that.
Sharp Objects. I just reread it or I re-listened to it on audio. Really great audio. Great book.
I'm going to have to check that out. That reminds me of The Murder of Roger Ackroyd.
Yes.
Yeah, right. And I don't know if that's where she goes with the novel, but like, kind of similar where you're reading it and then like the ending comes and it makes you rethink the entire book. Yeah.
I love it. Yep.
So my two are, okay, number one, I will never pass up an opportunity to recommend Fun Home by Alison Bechdel.
Of course.
With a last page that will make me cry every time, even when thinking about it. It's just like so many like threads and things going on in the story. And I love an ending that just like takes all of these like completely disparate threads and just ties them up in a way that you weren't expecting at all.
Right.
Like the ending
it's
of
satisfying and surprising.
Like the end of a Seinfeld episode, but less funny and more like sad and humanistic and bittersweet. Yeah, very similar. The other book that I'll recommend, and this is one that I don't think I've recommended very often, if I've recommended at all, I think it's Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman who went together on this, Good Omens.
Good Omens, yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
Like, I was really liking that book as I was reading it, and then I don't know what it is about the ending that just like really hit me hard. For exactly the same reason. Like, it's like it ties up everything in a way that just like adds a whole nother layer of meaning all of a sudden in the last paragraph.
Yeah.
So I love Good Omens too.
Nice.
Yeah.
The other one that I want to mention is also dark and twisty. I've also talked about it before on this show, but it's one of the best books that I read last year. S.A. Cosby's All the Sinners Bleed.
Mm-hmm.
Really great sort of southern gritty noir crime fiction. Kind of like Gillian Flynn's book, the story of the main character is a sheriff who goes back to his hometown or county to become the sheriff.
Mm.
And of course he uncovers secrets and murder and all that. But the ending of it was one of the most satisfying final scenes. It's
Ooh.
Not really a twist or anything, but it is a most satisfying final scene in part because of the closure that it gives to the main character. His final act in the book, it's just like, yes,
nice.
You did that thing.
Awesome.
So S.A. Cosby, All the Sinners Bleed.
And that's Talkin' Books. Susan Brown, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.